Well, good morning, friends. It is so good to be back with you today. I can't tell you how I've looked forward to being able to sit down and do this. Let me just tell you that we're going to probably have a little shorter session for a few weeks. And I'm doing it for two reasons. One, obviously for my voice, but number two, also some feedback I have received indicates that we may get a few more viewers if we're able to have a little shorter teaching. And so we're going to attempt to do that. I was led last night in some prayer time to do that. So don't be surprised today when we quit a little bit sooner, maybe. We'll just let the Spirit lead us as to how to do that. We're going to be talking today about Give Me My Mountain. And let me tell you, this is something that I'm living in my personal life. I'll share more in some coming days about what's going on with us. But this is something that I have gone back to and just studied what I'm going to teach you today for myself during these last several weeks. So as we start today, I want to start with Joshua 14, because Joshua was the one who said, "Give me this mountain." But I know Joshua was really saying, "Give me my mountain," because you're going to see that his faithful father, which is the title of our session today, my faithful father, he knew that it was his mountain. So back in Joshua 14, the children of Israel have crossed over into the promised land. They're there. Very few of the tribes have taken the land which has been given to them and which the Lord told Moses that would be theirs. And when that happened then, picking up here in verse 6, it says, "Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word of the Lord, which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea.'" Now let me just tell you, we're going to come back to these few verses every week and pick out something different to talk about that gives us some more insight so that we can live with the confidence to say, "Give me my mountain," just like Caleb did. So he's telling Caleb, said, "You remember what Moses spoke to us?" And he says in verse 7, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought word back as it was in my heart." Now, I'm tempted to just jump there, but let me just stress that again. "I brought the word back as it was in my heart." Not just what he saw, but what he had in his heart. "Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear." How did they do that? By the words they spoke. "But I followed the Lord my God fully." Verse 9, "So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and your children forever, because you," talking to Caleb again, and Joshua, "have followed the Lord my God fully. And now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke these 45 years." So Caleb is 85 years old when he's doing this. Now there's several points we're going to look at. 40 years plus 5 in Canaan land. He's been holding this in his heart. Verse 11, "I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and for coming in." And here is the verse that we're taking the title from. "Now then," and the New American Standard says, "Give me this hill country." Other translations, King James, New King James, say, "Give me this mountain which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard that the Anakim," those are the giants, "were there with great fortified cities." So he's telling them that he knows that this mountain has giants and fortified cities, and yet he's saying, "Give it to me." And then it goes on and says, "Perhaps," now that doesn't mean maybe he will, maybe he won't. It really implies, I know he's going to be with me. "The Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. In other words, that was his promise. That was part of his covenant inheritance from the Lord. 14, therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, and it says who he is again, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. So we're going to spend more time on that, but today I just want to introduce it to you, and then we'll pick a point out in each of the following weeks to really drill down on some of the things, because what I want us to do in this study is to see how Caleb and Joshua were able to maintain until this day that is being described in Numbers 14, their heart, and protect it based on what the Lord had said. Now, I don't want you to assume that those other tribes who had not taken their land immediately jumped on it and went to follow and do what Caleb did. Now, these were all the ones who, the day Caleb was 40, they were 20 or under 20. Look at Joshua 18, verse 3. And this, too, pertains to some of the things that we're going through and that we have experienced in our lives so far. So it says, in starting in verse 2, and there remained among the sons of Israel seven tribes who had not divided their inheritance. So more than half of them still had not pursued the promise that God gave them. So Joshua said to the sons of Israel, how long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? It's already theirs. One translation says, how long are you slack? The Douay Rheims version says, how long are you indolent and slack? And so what they're saying here is, why are you just being idle and not going and possessing what is yours? The Lord actually gave me that scripture one time about taking possession of a house that we had looked at, but that we did not, we made a contract on it conditionally to our selling. And then we had to act on it. So I'm not one to own two houses, but at that point it looked like I might have to. And this is the verse the Lord woke me up. And on the day we were to make the first double payment, we closed on the house that we had sold. So I just want you to see, the other tribes, just because they saw Caleb go get the land, they did not pursue that at all. Now, the key question then is, what distinguished Caleb and Joshua? So let's go all the way back to Numbers, the 14th chapter. We're not going to read about all them going spying out the land. We'll probably do some of that later to see how they spoke, how they brought back the report that was in his heart that we commented on earlier. But I want you to, in Numbers 14, skip down to verse 20. And the Lord has gotten angry with Israel, and he's told them what they're going to do and how they're going to wander around. And we pick up in verse 20. Because Moses prayed, the Lord's going to wipe them out and start over with Moses. And he said, no, Lord. He interceded, please pardon them. And look at what the Lord said in verse 20. I have pardoned them according to your word. Now, those of us who love to pray and consider ourselves to be intercessors, look at the authority that you have as God's chosen in interceding for others. But indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of God. So he's saying, I'll pardon them, but my glory is still going to be manifested in these people. Surely all men who have seen my glory and my signs, talking again about the children of Israel, which I performed in Egypt and the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice. Now, remember this 10 times. We studied each of those 10 to see what happened to them and how they rebelled. Different elements of it. Things they said, things they acted upon. Even things that when the Lord said, no, don't do it, they went ahead and did it. So, he's saying, you tested me again in the wilderness and now you won't go into it. And that's what 23 tells them. Shall by no means you're going to see the land I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurn me see it. And then verse 24, But my servant Caleb. Now, I would like to think, and I know each of you would too, that the Lord may say, but my servant Minton. Oh my. But my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit and followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it there. So, what did the Lord pardon? Their unbelief. Their not considering the Lord faithful to do the word that he had spoken to them. So what did it say? I mean, Hebrews affirms that they didn't have faith. They didn't believe that he would be faithful. Verse 24 tells us what the Lord said about Caleb, a different spirit. Now, should we know more about what this different spirit is? Yes, and that's what this study is really all about. Let me just say it this way. He believed God, and he counted him faithful. So that's why we're talking today about my faithful Father. So I want us to look at some scriptures on our Lord being faithful. The word faithful in the Hebrew, and I've only picked a few scriptures. There's so many of them. The word faithful in the Hebrew means firm, secure, stable, or not wavering, permanent, not movable. And so we want to focus on our Father and see how he, whose nature we have, what the word says about his faithfulness. So I want to start in Psalm 36, verse 5. Psalm 36, verse 5. Thy loving kindness, O Lord, that's his hesed, his covenant love, extends to the heavens. We know that. We studied love for weeks, and we saw how expansive, beyond being able to conceive it, his love really is. And then look what it says. Thy faithfulness reaches to the sky. So this is saying he is as faithful, and his faithfulness is so great, just like his love is. So what I take from this is I cannot separate his desire to be faithful to me from his love. And that faithfulness flows from his love, as we're going to see. Now go to Psalm 89, and we're going to read a number of verses in this psalm. Now, this is entitled in my Bible, The Lord's Covenant with David. And it's talking about some of the afflictions that the children of Israel went through. I will sing, verse 1 says, of the hesed, the loving kindness of the Lord forever. Now, talking about faithful now, so look for those words dealing with faithful. To all generations. How many generations? All. I will make known thy faithfulness with my mouth. This is what David is saying. David has that assurance that with his mouth, he will proclaim the faithfulness of the Lord. Verse 2, for I have said, loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens you will establish thy faithfulness. He says in verse 3, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have, this is the Lord talking, sworn to David my servant, I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. So these were his promises to David. They sound a lot like the promises to you and I, don't they? And then in verse 5, and the heavens will praise thy wonders, thy faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. So this tells us we ought to be doing what? Praising him for this great faithfulness that's equivalent to his love to us. Look down at verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, who is like thee? Do you remember in Isaiah, it's in chapter 44, verse 8, when the Lord said, is there any other God like me? And then the Lord goes on and says, I know of no other. So he's asking this question now. O Lord God of hosts, who is like thee, O mighty Lord? And look at how he answers this question with faithfulness. Thy faithfulness also surrounds thee. So he's saying, there's none other like thee, and it's your faithfulness coming from that love that really separates you. Look at verse 24, and this is some quoting some of the things the Lord had said, and my faithfulness and my loving kindness will be with him. So there's both of those again. You can't separate those. And in my name, his horn or his strength will be exalted. So his love and his faithfulness is going to strengthen us to do what he's called us to do. Now look at verse 27. I shall also make him my firstborn. Now, this is also talking about Jesus, the highest of the kings on the earth. My loving kindness, my hesed, I will keep for him forever. And by the way, that's the same love that he loves us with, that he loves Jesus with. And my covenant shall be confirmed to him. So I will establish his descendants forever and his throne as the days of heaven. Now, establish his descendants forever. Does that sound like that he's going to be faithful to what he, to do what he said? Sure, if forever. And then we read verse 29. Go down to back up. Hey, I'm going too fast. Psalm 23. Let me just remind you what it says in the last verse. Surely, of a certainty, goodness and loving kindness, or mercy, hesed, will follow me all the days of my life. So how long is goodness and his covenant love, to which faithfulness is equivalent to, going to follow you all the days of your life? So we're beginning to see all of this goodness that the Lord is tied to his love and then his faithfulness. So that's a picture we need to see, him being that faithful to you and me. Verse 33, but I will not break off my loving kindness from him, nor deal falsely in my faithfulness. My covenant I will not violate. So he is tying now his covenant, his word, his commitment to that faithfulness. My covenant I will not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips. So I might say it this way. He has tied his faithfulness to his covenant words to you and I. What is in this word of God that we're studying today. Verse 37, we'll conclude here with this chapter. It says, it shall be established forever. There's that word again, like the moon, and the witness in the sky is faithful. Oh my, what a God we have who loves us so strongly that he's going to be faithful to every word he's spoken to you and I in the covenant. Now let's go to Psalm 119. And we'll see this in Psalm 119. Look at verse 86. And I'm just going to pick three verses. Again, there's so many scriptures here. Verse 86 says, all thy commandments are faithful. All your commandments, all the words that you've spoken, that which you'll do, are faithful. It says they have, talking about evil people, then the psalmist says, they've persecuted me with a lie, help me. Now, what do we know about the Father? He cannot lie. So persecution comes from those who lie, and that is the devil, who is the father of lies. Part of his being faithful to himself is the fact that he cannot lie, which means what? He must be faithful to his word. Now, verse 90, just a few lines down, says, the faithfulness continues, thy faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. Now, those who are concerned about global warming, this world, that's not what's going to happen to this earth. It's going to be global burning and then a new earth and a new heaven. But he is going to be faithful to us with his covenant as long as this earth remains until our Lord Jesus comes back. Now, again, with this verse, thy faithfulness continues throughout all generations. So the question we have to ask, does this verse, is it talking about you and I? Absolutely it is. Verse 138 says, thou hast commanded, or you have commanded thy testimonies in righteousness and in exceeding faithfulness. So being right with Him, we know, as we were made righteous in His righteousness, that that same faithfulness that He has, He's going to exhibit towards you and I. And then finally, in this segment here, let me read to you Hosea 2:20. It says, "I will and I will betroth you to me." Now, who are we? The bride of Christ. "I will betroth you to me in faithfulness." Now, just ponder that. And let me just go back and read you the definitions of the Hebrew word. Firm, secure, stable, unwavering, permanent, not movable. His faithfulness towards you is forever. And then this verse concludes in Hosea by saying, then you will know the Lord. So to truly know Him is to know His faithfulness, His covenant faithfulness. So what are we seeing here? Love, goodness, can't lie, are all tied to faithfulness. But there's one more that I want to focus on in the time we have remaining today. And it is the word there. Now, we studied the names of the Lord, and we know there's one that means the Lord is there. But that's what I want to pick up on. And you're going to see that Caleb knew this as well. Moses, talking to Israel in the 31st chapter of Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, nor tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you." So, how can we not tremble? How can we not be discouraged? How can we not be afraid? Because we know that the Lord our God is with us. And then it says, He will not fail you nor forsake you. Now, does that remind you of a New Testament scripture in Hebrews where over and over, He will not, He will not, He will not ever fail nor forsake you? Look in Joshua 1:9. Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed." So, same words. And look at what He's telling Joshua. "For the Lord your God is with you." In other words, He's there wherever you go. Now, one of my favorite verses is Isaiah 41:10. So, let's look at it. "Fear not." So, Lord, how can I not fear? Well, read the next few words. "For I am with you." So part of His faithfulness is being there with us at every step of our lives, every step we take. 41:10, I'm going to read the rest of it because it's good. "Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Psalm 46, verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength." A what? A very present, in other words, He's there, help in time of need or trouble. And then the verse we were talking about earlier in Hebrews 13:5, "I will never desert you," one translation says, "nor will I ever forsake you." Now, I want to close today with looking at what the Lord said to the Hebrew nations. And to do that, I want to go back to Numbers 14. And this is not what the Lord said. It's what Caleb said to the Hebrew nation. But he got it from the Lord, this revelation. So Numbers 14, they've spied out the land. They've given their reports, two totally different ones. And they want to go back to Egypt. So we're going to pick up in verse 7. And so Caleb is and Joshua are talking now. And it says, "They spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, 'The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then He will bring us to this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey.'" Verse 9, "Only do not rebel against the Lord." In other words, what? Be faithful to Him. Stay firm. Now, this is going to tie into where we're going to be going next week. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they shall be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them. Now, this is actually what Caleb is saying is exactly what was told them as they were going in and spying out Jericho. We've heard about you. We've known you're coming. We just didn't know when. And we don't have any strength at all towards you. And here he is professing this. But the last few words is what I want us to focus on. So let me read 9 again. And it ties really tightly into those we've read earlier. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they shall be our prey. Their protection has been removed for them. And this is the reason he could say the other, the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. So over and over today, we've seen faithfulness, great faithfulness. The Lord is with us. Caleb knew this. It sustained him. Joshua as well. And we're going to look at Joshua and Caleb and do some imagining of how they encouraged one another through all these years. But it also begs the question, and this is where we're going to begin to go next week. How about us, in whom He dwells? Do we have this revelation of the Lord in us, the Lord who has filled us with Himself, so that every time the devil tries to get us to fear, and I've had to fight some of this, not with any COVID stuff, but in some other things that are going on where I have some decisions to make about futures. And fear began to rise up when I couldn't see how this could possibly happen. That's why I said I've been seeing it in my own life and encouraged myself with these very verses. But how about us? Do I really know? And do I live and have my mind controlled by thought, my thoughts controlled? Because I know the word says, fear not, Minton. Because I'm with you. And that's where we want to go next week. So that's what I want you to ponder in these coming days is, do I have this awareness of God in me? Part of His faithfulness toward you. Now, don't get yourself in condemnation, because we're going to talk about, just like we talked about, if I feel like I don't love the Lord enough, what do I do? Do I try to work up more love? Don't try to work up more faithfulness. You're going to see verses next week that will cause that faithfulness and the knowledge of that faithfulness, which is what he said was what? Knowing Him. You got to know His faithfulness to truly know Him. We're going to see that it's not about focusing on me, but it's about focusing on Him. I hope this stirred you today. And so in these coming weeks, we're going to talk about a number of different items, but all aimed at putting us in a position to say, the Lord is faithful to me, and He will deliver on those things He has promised. Thanks for joining us today. I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize necessarily, but it has hurt me not to be with you these past weeks. And I know that the devil doesn't want us to share these words. Even this morning before we recorded, it was like it was just an all-out attack so that he would keep us. But what? The Lord is faithful, and He sustained me. I haven't talked this long in weeks without severe coughing. And so I give glory to God that healing is manifested in my body. And let me just remind you, it's like I said in the note to you last week. The fact is, I've been coughing. The truth says, I'm healed. And if we know that He's faithful, then we know what? That healing is coming. Now, again, you say, someone may say, well, Minton, why? You had such trouble with it. Well, I have to live this just like you do. I might lay hands on the sick and they recover, just like you should be doing, but we each have to live this out ourselves. And so that's how I've been encouraging myself, is saying, He's faithful. He's faithful to me. He's going to see us through. Let me stop here. We love you, and we look forward to being back together with you next week.